Rabbi mentioned today, I'll just mention that today, and today is the yard site of my great grandfather, Rav Aaron Levine. Rav Aaron Levine, Hashem Yikoim Domoy. May Hashem avenge his blood. He was killed brutally in the forest by the Ukrainians when he was fleeing from the Nazis. As far as we know, there is no keder. We don't. His body. We don't even know when he was murdered. We have I think someone told me that he was tied to a horse. They tied him to a horse and they dragged him in the forest. They brutally murdered him. He was a very influential rav in Reisha. Reisha was a very, very big city in the south.
It's near the airport.
South in Rezhenov. Today it's called Rezhenov. Rezhenov. He was the rav of Reisha. And he was also a representative. Poland, Galicia. It's the same year in Galicia, Poland. And he was a representative of the Jewish people in the Polish Sejm. Polish Sejm is the equivalent of what we call the Senate,
the parliament.
And he was very, very influential, very powerful person in the government. After the First World War. He was in Austria, and there were many people who fled to Austria from Vienna and other different cities, and the Austrian king gave him enormous power to assist all of the refugees who came into Austria, and he was very instrumental in providing for all of their needs. My father is named after him. My father was the grandson of Rav Aaron Levine. My father was named after him. And today we have a tradition. We don't even really know for sure exactly when he was killed. It's not so clear exactly when he was killed, but the yard site that my family observed for the Reish Rav is today on Vav Tammuz. That's the yard site that someone told my family is that they found out later that really it should be tomorrow. Really it was Zion Tammuz. But I don't know, whatever, no one really knows for sure anything. So we observe the yard site on Vav Tammuz. And I just find it very interesting is that, you know, his name was Aaron. And his first drasha, he wrote many svarim. One of the svarim he wrote up, his first drasha when he became the Rav in Samburg. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. That was before he became Rav in Reisha. He gave a very eloquent drasha, his first inaugural drasha. And he described what the role of a Rav is. And he said one of the main functions of a Rav is to bring about in the community to be follow the midah of Aaron HaKoyin, Ohev Shalom, V'roidev Shalom. And indeed, that was his hallmark. In Reisha, he was very good with everyone. He was very good with the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. Reisha was a very complicated city. There were a lot of secular Jews, there were a lot of Hasidim, a lot of Misnagdim, there was a very large Belgian community, and he got along with everyone very, very well. Ohev Shalom, V'roidev Shalom. I just find it very interesting is that he was nifter against the backdrop of Parshas Chukas, where we find the petira of Aaron HaKoyin. Aaron HaKoyin was told to go El Har HaHar Vayom HaSham. And he died. He was very tragic and he was 65 years old when he was murdered. It's interesting, my father was also exactly 65 years old. My father carries his name. Very bizarre. My father carries his name, and my father was exactly the same age he was when the Reish Rav was Nifter. Okay, there's a lot to talk about the Reish Rav. Today, unfortunately, in this generation, no one really knows about the Reish Rav. What? That was probably a community. You know, nothing with my grandfather. Nothing to do with it. It's probably survivors from Reish. They made their own shul. But my grandfather, no connection. Okay, so there is. Okay, I have a website, a memorial of my father. It's called AaronLevine.info. And there, I put up some articles, some other things. I have a lot more things I want to put up. I don't have time. It takes a lot of time to do this. But there's a lot of information there that's not available, not so easy to get a hold of, that I have there about the Reish Rav. But thank you, Rav Meir, for mentioning it. And for bringing in a bottle of liqueur. To mention the Reish Rav, and may his zechus be a zechus for all of us here, for everyone. Zechus yogin aleinu, may his Hashem have an aliyah, and again, like I said, zechus yogin aleinu on all of us. here. As he mentions, tomorrow is the yard sale of my mother, Olel HaShalom. My mother was Nifter in Zion Tammuz. And her name is Leah Sarah Bas Rav Shmuel David. May her neshama have an aliyah. And may the learning be a zechus for her as well. Okay, let's talk about the parasha, a little bit about the parasha. First thing I want to mention over here is that in the news this week, if I was a rabbi, Baruch Hashem, I'm not a rabbi. It's not easy to be a rabbi, believe me. But if I was a rabbi, there's only one thing to talk about, the Shagira Pas sermon. If you give a sermon, you know, in the shul, there's really only one thing to talk about this week, and that is, everyone is talking about this, the incredible Chil Hashem that has happened, that has come to the public knowledge, that happened in Lakewood. Okay, it's not just you can't hide from this. It's not Lashon Hara. It's something which is so before Hesia. It's not at all Lashon Hara. This is something which the tzibur has to pay very close attention to and to do tshuva, and that is the Chil Hashem. How could it be the Ir HaTorah, a place where people, which is known with the title, the Ir HaTorah, is guilty, is in the public news for gezel, for violation of fraud, all different types of forms of gneva and gzela. And this is a very, very, very great stain on us, on our community, the Ir HaTorah, and everyone is guilty. No one can say they're innocent. The fact that this is tolerated, the fact that we here tolerate this, the silent majority allows such thing to happen, makes all of us guilty. Aval Hashemim
Anachnu. Are you allowed to snitch on
such a person? No, I don't know. No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't never go that far. A lot of snitch, but privately, you probably have an obligation to tell them you're doing something wrong. The culture to allow such a thing to happen in such a large scale is a very, very great Chil Hashem. And it sends shudders down every person's spine. And it requires us to be mechazek ourselves. We always, even the people among us who, hopefully among us, and we're all very meticulous, all very careful, there's never a limit to how honest and how careful you can be in monetary matters. And if such a terrible thing has happened, it's so public, even though every person here, I'm sure, will say, not me, I am clean as a whistle, there's always something more you can improve. You can improve. You can be mechazek yourself in yonei mimonos. Something does not belong to you. You have no right to help yourself. If something comes to paying taxes, comes sales tax, go to a store, there's always kunsim, always shtick. There are always things that every common man, unfortunately, has a nisayin with. And this is a wake-up call to be mechazek in these imyanim, and not to tolerate such activity, for Klal Yisrael to bring such a stain, such a massive Chil Hashem upon Klal Yisrael. And I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us by having this event happen to us in against the backdrop of Parashas Chukas, because what is the first Bala Turim? It's a very, very frightening Bala Turim. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron le'emar, Zois Chukas HaTorah. This is the Chuk of Torah. What does the Bala Turim say? Somach Chukas HaTorah, to the previous parasha, Parshas Korach, the end of Parshas Korach, Beharimchem Eschelvoy Mimenu. Ramas, what does this teach us? Loi Nidne Torah Elo Loichle Haman, Shnila Loichle Truma. Torah was only given to those people who eat Truma. Now, I'm not going to go and elaborate upon exactly what the Bala Turim says, what this means, but let's just use the Bala Turim as a wake up call, is that, look, the Zois Chukas HaTorah is juxtaposed to the mitzvah of giving Truma. What is the mitzvah of Truma? Two things. Number one, Truma is to give. Torah was given to people who give, not to people who take. The whole essence of giving Truma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you a gift. He has given you a matana. He has given you parnasa. You have an obligation to take from your parnasa and to give to people who are not as fortunate. To take, this goes against the grain of what Truma is. So, and this is juxtaposed to the word Zois Chukas HaTorah. Lo Nidna Torah. Torah was given to people who give, not Chas V'Shalom take. If you're taking, it's not one thing to take, even to take legitimately. That's not a good midah, to be a taker, to take handouts, to have a lifestyle where you're 100% dependent upon taking handouts. But to take what you're not entitled to take what's not yours, al achas kama v'kama, goes against the grain of zeischukas haTorah. Number two, second idea is, when a person gives truma, what does it mean? When a person has produce, the produce that you have is osur. It is forbidden. It is tevel. There is a chi of misa b'dei shvayim for a person to partake from his own produce until he sanctifies it by giving from his gift that he has received and giving a portion to the kohen. When you give a portion to the kohen, you're sanctifying your own food. The food, the sustenance that you consume, has to be sacred. If you take from someone else, you take what's not yours, not only is it not sacred, it is contaminated. And that's the last two psukim of the previous parasha. V'lo sisu olav chet. Do not bear a sin. B'harimchem es chelbo mimenu. When you take from your parnos and you give from the best, you give it to others. The holy things of the Jewish people do not profane, so there should not be chas shalom misa. And then the next words are zoyt schukas haTorah asher tziva Hashem lemar. This refers to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Torah. The juxtaposition over here is teaching us that when it comes to people who are living in the Ir HaTorah, and all of us who are part of the support system of the Ir HaTorah, you have to be meticulous in these matters of lesisu olav chet, regarding the gift, the parnasa that you have, and how you deal with it, and how you give to others, and how you make sure that there is no form of contamination and everything is kosher v'yashuk. You have to really extrapolate a little bit more detail, but this is the basic idea. And the fact that this event has taken place and in such public, and it's one thing you have a little article. Okay, go on to a secular news website and find a report, even a small little report, a few lines about this event, and you'll notice hundreds, if not thousands, of comments. Yeah. Comments. And who's commenting? Jews, religious Jews, non-religious Jews, Goyim, and some of the anti-Semitism and some of the venom is just off the charts. Yeah. And it's frightening. It's frightening to live in a bubble and just not, you know, I'm not going to go online, I'm not going to know what's going on in this world, I'm not going to read the news, I don't go online, I'm a very holy person, I never go on the computer. Just to type in a few words about, type in just the word Lakewood. All you have to type in Google today. Type in Lakewood, and you're going to see over here a news story, and you'll see right away a news story. And you leave in a very positive, I read a news story where they had the person, the commissioner, the person that was in charge of leading the investigation, a guy who's one of the people working for the government, and he pretty much downplayed the whole thing. He says Lakewood is a very, very big place.
He's an elected
official. It's a very, very big place. Okay, whatever it is, and he downplayed it. And he says Lakewood is a very big place, and the percentage of Jews who are guilty is very, very small relative to what goes on in the whole world. Okay, very nice. Well, who's asking him to be so nice? Read the comments. Go look at the comments. Boy, they're not nice.
They put up a picture of him in jail. Okay.
So this is something which is, you can't ignore. You cannot ignore this event. It is something which is very, very frightening. We're in Gullus. It's not our country. It's not our place. It's not our money. We have received far more than our portion. And the pasuk here says, starts Zos Chukas. Lakewood is called the Ir HaTorah. Okay, Yerushalayim is the Ir HaKodesh, and Lakewood is known in the world the Ir HaTorah. Zois chukas haTorah, lo nidna Torah ela lo oichle haman. Juxtaposed to the oichle truma. The food you eat has to be sacred. The food you eat is man. The food you eat is truma. Truma and man are sacred. If the food that you're putting in your mouth has come from gezel, there's something really, really wrong. There's something wrong, and this is something which we need. We all have to recognize that we're also guilty. If it's affecting us, it's in the news, it's a trickle-down effect. We're also guilty. We're also guilty. It means we have to be mechazik ourselves, to be meticulous in yanei dinei, in yanei mamonos. Yeah?
Now, in culture, I think in Europe, where Jews obviously hated, and they did read all kinds of stories how they had a cheek to survive.
Okay, that might be different. Yeah, you know, that may be different.
Oh,
look,
let me just finish. And somehow, like, you hear the part of that culture, I think, is transferred.
Well, that's wrong. Yeah, that's dead wrong. And that's a big mistake.
You hear stories, people cheating on welfare in our communities as well.
There's no excuse.
It's not Lakewood, Linfisher Island.
Look, there are people that are entitled. People are poor. They're entitled to the benefits. There's no question about it. People on Medicaid and welfare, there's no question about it. They're poor. Listen, lo yechdal ev yoyin mi karev aretz.
So people put their assets in other names.
Right, so they're not entitled. If you're entitled, you're entitled. If you're not entitled, you're not entitled. I once had a ma'isa where someone asked me in a certain place, he asked me to sign the dotted line. Because if I sign the dotted line, I'm going to bring in money to this institution. So I told them, you know, you're not aware, and they really were not aware, I'm not here all that much. I was working, at that point in time, I was already working. I was an adjunct at Brooklyn College, I was working part-time for a company in Manhattan. I said, I'm really here very, very little. They were aware. So they said, tell me the hours. Tell me the hours when, but I see you here right now. You're here, you are here a lot. You only work part-time. Maybe you're here enough to qualify that the yeshiva can benefit because every person on the roster gives money. So he said to me, I want you to write down exactly when you're here, the hours, the entire week. We have a lawyer. We're going to present the information to the lawyer, and the lawyer will determine if you're eligible to sign on the dotted line. So that was a very nice thing. So either you're on, either you're, you know, you're entitled. You're not entitled, then it's gezel. All right. Look, in the Holocaust, it was all bribes to save Jewish people. The joint, the Vadat Sala. I mean, it was probably almost everything they did was illegal.
Joint did not do illegal. That was the problem.
But the Varat Sala, probably everything. There probably wasn't one thing that the Varat Sala did that was legal. But you're dealing there with Hatzolos Nefashos.
Right.
Hatzolos Nefashos. We're not dealing anymore with Hatzolos Nefashos. Okay, we're not dealing. If you're entitled to receive benefits, you can get it. If you're not entitled, it's gezel. There's no pikuach nefesh. It's a chil Hashem. It's aser aser. So to go and to take from this culture of Poland and what used to be, where people had to steal to survive, pikuach nefesh.
It wasn't steal to survive. It was within the house. The idea was that after the Yiddish geld, because it was the church that was taking the money. Here it's not.
I know someone that was on a death march. From one of the one during the time of liquidation, when the Nazis were coming to liquidate the camps, so they didn't want any evidence, so they sent the people mamash on a death march. And this person was not well. The feet were swollen, and they were marching, and they stole as they were marching. They passed a certain village, and they saw a pair of boots. And this person, he stole the boots. They're only a Jew. He stole the boots. He went secretly when they had a little rest and the soldiers were not watching. He went, he stole the boots. If he did not steal the boots, he would not have survived. They would have shot him. He couldn't walk. They would have shot him. He would have been dead. His whole life, it's amazing, his whole life he felt guilty. This person already died. Their whole life they always said, you know, I survived, but I stole those boots. Did I do the right? The Gemara talks about this. You know, it's not so simple. The Gemara, he felt guilty. Do we feel guilty? Person goes and he takes benefits from the government, taxpayer money. Is there any guilt? Forget if you're allowed to do it or not. Where's the guilt? This person's whole life depended upon these boots that he needed to survive. And he felt the guilt. What happened to the shame? What happened to the sense of shame? It's something that no one. We all have to recognize that we're all part of the same society. You can't go say I'm not part of this society. You're part of the society, and if this happens to someone else, you know, there's a sense of guilt that applies to all of us, and it demands that we have to be mechazik ourselves in being meticulous in everything that we do. Let's go to a new topic. Let's talk about Paraduma. Paraduma. There's a famous Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Aleph. Boy Ure, come and see how great is the mitzvah of Kibud Av Vo'em. Famous Gemara. with a non-Jew in the city of Ashkelon. So I'm going to paraphrase the Gemara. What was the story in this Ashkelon? Let's just go to the Gemara. The Sanhedrin, whatever it was in the Beis Hamikdash, they needed stones for the ephod. Okay, the ephod is the garment the Kohen Gadol wears. They on the two shoulder straps. There are two stones upon which is etched the Shiftei Kol, the 12 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. They needed for some reason to replace these stones, and there was only one non-Jew who had these stones in the city of Ashkelon. They went to purchase the stones from this individual, and he said, I'll sell it to you for such and such amount of money, but the key to the safe is under my father's pillow, and I'm sorry, I can't wake him up. And I'm sorry, I don't care. Even if this means you're going to go to the neighbor, you're going to go next door and get the stones from someone else, it does not matter. I will not wake up my father, even if you're going to give me all of this money. And Chazal used this as an example to see the greatness, how far the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em goes. Now, this is the Gemara, and then the Gemara goes on to say that it would happen the following year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded this non-Jew. It was born to him a Parah Aduma, and he was the only game in town to purchase the Parah Aduma, and the Sanhedrin came back, and they said, we want to buy the Parah Aduma, and he told them, I know that if I would ask from you all the money in the world, you would have no choice but to give it to me, but I don't want to take from you more than what? More than what I lost for not giving you the stones to the ephod, because my father was sleeping and I did not want to disturb his sleep by waking him up to get the key that was underneath his pillow. That's the Gemara. You've all heard this Gemara 100 times. Correct. Now, I want to say a new pshat in the Gemara. Okay? I'm being very daring, very controversial now. I want to say a new approach to the Gemara. What I'm going to tell you, is it MS? Probably not. Probably not. But it doesn't matter, because the message is true. I have no doubt that the message I'm trying to bring out in this pshat that I'm going to tell you in the Gemara, which is off the charts, I've not heard anyone say this pshat, totally way out, ridiculous, convoluted, krum, corrupt, but I think there's something here to discuss. It's worthy of saying the pshat so you can reject it. Okay, so let me, and you will be the judge. Okay. To begin, let's start with some of the basic questions, which everyone asks. Basic questions are, the Gemara starts up by telling us, Borei kama gadol kibud avoim. Come and see how great is the mitzvah of kibud avoim. And we find we have to go to a non-Jew living in the city of Eshkelon. Now, if you were Ravina and Rav Ashi, and it came to Daf Lamed Aleph, and now it was the time to present a dogma of Kibud Av V'Em, what would you do? I would call a Pesach Kron, and I would say, maybe you have a good story for me? We need a good story about a Jew who is Mechabe, their father, a good story about a Rosh Hashiva, a Talmud Chacham. Chazal have to go to a non-Jew? Come on, a non-Jew. He didn't want to wake up his father. I'm sure you can find better stories that relate, convey the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em from one of our own. This is the Talmud Bavli. What's going on over here? You have to go to a guy. There aren't enough Jews around to find a good story. A very basic question. Every commentator will ask this question. Second question. What is the guy thinking? What about you? Let's say you're a parent. You come home from a hard day of work, you're dead tired, you close the door, you tell your child, don't you dare wake me up. I worked the whole night on a shift, a 36-hour shift to support you, to pay your tuition, to be good to you, to buy you an afikoman present. Don't you dare wake me up. I'll kill you if you wake me up. And then walks in the home, someone says, we have here, we want to buy something, we're willing to pay $1 million. Can you please give us the merchandise? The son says, the key is under my father's pillow. My father's sleeping. I'm sorry, I can't wake up my father. When the father wakes up and finds out that his son did not wake him up and had an opportunity for $1 million, the father's going to kill the son. And the son's like, but dad, didn't you tell me that if I wake you up, you're going to kill me? You shaita. For $1 million, you can wake me up. Right? For $1 million, don't worry, I'm Michael, you can wake me up. I mean, come on! The father doesn't want the son, even if the father would not receive benefit, even $1, one penny from this, Even the father would not, let's say, all the money would go into the bank account of the son. The father could have nachas that his son has parnasa, his son has $1 million. I mean, it's so bizarre. It's so bizarre that the son wouldn't want to wake up the father to get the key when over here they're going to make a killing. Come on, what's going on over here? Okay, you'll tell me answers. Fine, I know you'll find answers, but it's a good question. You'll have answers, but the question is a valid question. So I want to say the following pshat. Now, to say the pshat in the Gemara, I want to tell you an entirely different vart. That's nothing to do with this. But that var, I believe, captures what I'm really trying to bring out. I heard this var yesterday. I saw this var yesterday. I was reading a sefer that discusses the theme of emunah. And I don't even remember who said this. I just saw this in passing. The one who wrote the sefer was, his name was Rabbi Schmelzer. He's the same person who wrote one of the biggest talmidim of Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. He's the one who wrote Afikayam. Rav Moshe Shapiro, they put out for the last couple of years a number of volumes from the Chidushim of Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. And the title of the sefer is called Afikayam. And the Mechaber, Afikayam, and the Mechaber, the one who compiled all of the Chidushim, was this fellow by the name of Rabbi Schmelzer. I don't remember his first name. And he wrote an English book relating to Emunah. Rav Matas Yos Salomon told him, you must write a book in English about the topic of Emunah, basically a guide of Mechanchim, how to teach Emunah in the classroom. So I was glancing through this book and I came across the following thing which made a very powerful impression upon me. Back, let's go to the Bereishis and Parshas. Remember, yes, you'll help me. The Parsha when Parah has a dream. Vayhi Miketz, it was Parah Smikis. We discussed this yesterday. Miketz, Paro has a dream, and Yosef comes to interpret the dream, and Paro was overwhelmed with the brilliance of Yosef HaTzadik. Tells him interpretation, what's going to happen, the 7 years of famine, the 7 years of plenty, and then when Paro was impressed, this man, Yosef, is brilliant, how does Yosef respond? He says to Paro, listen, it's not really me, it's not my chachma. This is really part of the interpretation. Vayomer Yosef el Paro, chaloim Paro echad hu, eis asher ho Elokim oiseh higil lefach. Let's put that aside for the moment. Paro hears the dream, and Paro says the following. Paro, let me just jump ahead to the Vayomer Paro el Yosef. First response. Paro's opening words in response to the interpretation. Vayomer Paro el Yosef acharei hoidia Elokim. Oisecha es kol zos. Now that God has revealed this all to you, einovoin v'chocham kamoicha, I'm going to step down. I'm putting you in charge. You'll be the Mishnah Lamelech. Question: we know as a fact that Egypt was a place of avodah zara, of the top, of the highest order. In Egypt was a place of the ultimate kefir. This is a fact. This is in Chazal. Later, go a few generations, 210 years later, we know Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koyle. Paro, a different Paro, obviously, but he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I never heard of this. You have God, you have a tax exemption number. Who is the tax exemption number for this God? I never heard of this God called Yudke Vavke. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Now, this Paro, 210 years later, is not far off from the Paro 210 years before, L'chayra, they didn't know from the Ribbono Shel Olam either back in Egypt in the day of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef going to the Erev HaSaaretz, Paitifar. This is not a place of the Ribbono. All of a sudden, after having one conversation with Yosef HaTzadik, Paro, he's a member of the Mo'etzes Gedolei Yisrael. Look what he says. Vayomer Paro Yosef Acharei Hoidi Elokim. He right away, he's religious. Acharei Hoidi Elokim, he talks manish like a Rosh Shiva, a Baal Musa from the Alta of Kelm. All of a sudden he came over here, a big Rosh Shiva, and he talks with sincerity. And the proof is in the pudding. He didn't just talk. Talk is cheap. Hashem told you, it's Kedai, you should be the Melech. I'm going to step down. I'm going to give you authority. You'll rule and I'll just sit and watch. Haloi Davar? What's going on over here? You go from nothing, absolutely zero, to become the biggest maimin? He's mamash a maimon here. Acharei lekim ediyah, and again, like I told you, the proof is in the pudding. That the fact that he acts upon his emuna, you can be the mishnah. You can be the melech. You'll be the mishnah lemelech. My high, what's going on over here? So Rabbi Shmuel, he quotes someone. I don't know who he says. He says, let me give you another back. Let me go even to another level, backdrop. When I work with people, I used to work with people a lot more in business, in computer programming, in different places that I worked. Go to a doctor, deal with goyim. I always have this dilemma. When a goy says to you, "How are you? Go to the doctor. Go for a checkup. Haven't seen you in a year. How have you been? How's everything?" A goy that's a top in his field. I always wonder, should I say thank God? I always wonder, I have this dilemma, when I talk to goyim and they ask you how you are, should you inject, you talk to your fellow Jew, Baruch Hashem, everything is okay. Should you inject into your conversation the mention of God's name? I have no idea what these people believe. Some of them probably are God-fearing people. Some of them not. Some of them are atheists. Some of them are Christians. Some of them are Muslims, still Muslims sometimes. I don't know. I really have no idea. I have no clue. So should I go and project my beliefs upon them just incidentally? What's the dilemma? The dilemma is if I say God and they look at me, I'm always afraid. They see right through me. And they say, come on, you're really a believer? I mean, okay, you say you dive in, you learn. Come on, you're a faker, you're a phony. You know, to some degree, everyone has a degree of phoniness in them. Okay, no one's perfect. Everyone has a degree of phoniness. I don't want to go promote, I have this, I hold back. On the other hand, you should. It's a chalashem, you have to, if this is what you are, you have to say. On the other hand, if I'm going to say God, he looks at me and he doesn't see that I'm true to what I project myself as being, that can be a little bit of a chil Hashem.
Or he's not a believer.
What?
Or he's not a believer in God.
He's not a believer. Right. And all of these things together.
But
I don't
again,
want... What?
But then again, it wouldn't be the first
okay.
time he's heard that he would be...
Correct. I don't want to rub it in his face. I don't want
to
contribute. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for business. I'm here for a doctor's checkup. I'm here for other things. I don't want to engage him in this matter. Because especially if I'm guilty, if in his eyes he sees something that he does not like, and that's legitimate, can be very legitimate in what he sees. You don't see any other way nigei atzmo. It could be a chil Hashem to go and compound. Better enough, I'm wearing a yarmulke, I'm wearing dark clothing. It's better that you have to go in and compound it by mentioning God. He may not like this if, in his eyes, I'm not holding where he thinks I should be holding. Okay, it's a dilemma. You know, you can argue both sides of the coin. This is a very big dilemma. How some will tell you no, you have to. Some will tell you no, you don't. Okay, you can argue. Yosef didn't have that problem. Yosef at Tzaddik had no issue with this. When Yosef comes to Paro, Yosef, the very first words Yosef says to Paro, he talks religion. The first thing he says is, Vayoma Yosef al Paro, he wasn't like me, he had no issue. Chaloim Paroi Echad Hu, Eis Asher Ho Elokim. God has revealed to you his master plan. And he goes on and on and on. Yasef Paroi goes on and on, and the whole thing is built on the premise he talks about God. Rav Shmelzer says in the name of the Gedol Yisrael, Yosef was so sincere. He was so sincere in speaking about God. It was so real to him. It was contagious. He says to Paro, you know, maybe you don't know, but you know, there's something called a God. There's the Ribbono Shel Olam. He rules the world. And he's revealing to you his master plan. The sincerity, the authenticity of Yosef's Yirah Shamayim was so powerful, Paro, in a moment, became a believer. In a moment, Paro became a member of the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael. He right away said, Acharei hoidia Elokim Moischa eskolzos, Einovon v'chocham kamocha. Emuna is contagious. You know why it's contagious? Because it's the simplest, it's the MS. Something which is true, You don't have to bend your back, bend backwards to sell. If something is true, it sells itself. something that's valuable, that's MS, sells itself. You just have to be sincere. You have to be sincere, you have to be authentic, and mimela, it's contagious. Even Paro, a koifer sheba koifrim, can in a moment be transformed into a maimon, because emuna is the only thing that really exists in this world. And you just need authentic people to express it, to display it, and to make you aware of it. And in one moment, Paro has been transformed into the ultimate maimon. And that's why Paro right away says, of course, you're going to be in charge, I'm a believer. It's the authenticity, it is the integrity, Yosef was a real person. Now, with that idea in mind, let's go back to our Shaila. Chazal are coming to illustrate, Bore, come, let me show you what it means, Kibir Avoim. Chazal are not looking for a maisala of a goy. Chas v'shalom. That's not what Chazal have in mind to illustrate the greatness of Kibud Av V'Em with Paraduma. That's not what they're coming to illustrate. I realize now this really has nothing to do with the Parasha. It's only because the end was he got the Paraduma. Okay, they really doesn't really tie that much to the Parasha, but this is the Chazal everyone quotes, the Paraduma. The end was he got the Paraduma. Okay, so but Chazal trying to find a story about a Jew. Now let's have a conversation. Let me make up a fictional conversation happened when the Chacham came to Dama ben Nesina. They walk into his apartment and they say, Dama ben Nesina, we are here as representatives of the Holy Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim to purchase precious stones. So Dama ben Nesina says, what do you need these stones for? What do you bother? What do you want them for? You don't understand. Try me. I want to understand, what are these stones for? Well, we have a high priest. We call him the Kohen Gadol. And he wears a special garment called the ephod. And the ephod has shoulder straps. And on the shoulder straps, there are these two precious stones into which we etch the names of our forefathers. We etch the name of the Shiftei Kah, the 12. These are our forefathers. And when the holy priest, when he goes into the temple to serve Hashem, he brings with him into the service of God the remembrance of our forefathers. That's how precious our forefathers are to us. Our forefathers are not just, you know, ancient history. They live with us. We carry our forefathers on our shoulders. We bear their weight. We carry them with us. Our representative who goes into the Holy of Holies, he carries our... He doesn't wear in the Kodesh HaKadosh, when he does the service of the Beis HaMikdash, he carries this remembrance of our beloved forefathers. Dama ben Nesina is sitting there in this conversation and he's totally in shock because he thinks, let me think about my forefathers. Where's my granddad now? My granddad was cremated and his ashes are in the attic somewhere, in some bottle, somewhere in the corner. I don't even know where they are. And my great-great-grandfather, he was probably a monkey somewhere, rolling around somewhere. Dama ben Nesina was so overwhelmed by the authenticity, the sincerity of the Chachamim who came to purchase stones which are going to be used to give honor, reverence, respect to their forefathers. The Rabban came to be mechabed their own forefathers. Kibud Avoim doesn't just mean you mechabed your mother or your father. Kibud Avoim means you mechabed your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, the Messiah, all the way back to the Avos, all the way back to the Shiftei Kah. And the presentation that was made by the Chachamim to purchase these stones was done with such authenticity and sincerity, this Dama ben Nesina melted away. It's as if we're trying to say is that the Chachamim were in the place of Yosef, and Dama ben Nesina was Paro. And just like Paro, in a moment when it was revealed to him, the MS of what it means, Yosef revealed the emes of the moon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Likewise, when Dama ben Nesina presented the when the Rabbanim presented their request, the authenticity, the beauty of what it means to be mechabe, the parent, was so powerful, he was shaken up. So what did he do? I also want a chelek. I also want a portion in this mitzvah, in this concept of giving kavod to my father. It's logical, it makes sense. I'm seeing over here what the Rabbanan are doing. The very least, let me start right now. Let me start right now and do something which is totally crazy. I know my father will kill me for this anyway. I won't tell him. I won't even tell him that I passed up a $1 million deal. My father's sleeping. Let me at least, let him at least, how can I bring myself to disturb his sleep after you've shown me the beauty of what it means to give honor to your ancestors? This is the greatest success in Kibud Av V'Em. When a guy sees what you do, even a non-Jew, and says, I want to be just like that. There's nothing greater. There's what is an expression that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. When you try to imitate, this is a story out of Pesach Kron's books. This is a story of a Jew in a mission to be mechabe their father, who does it with such truth that people who observe are so overwhelmed. I also want to be like that. And that's why Dom Ben Asina on the spot says, what could I do to be mechabe my father? He's sleeping. So at least let me have a chelik in this mitzvah of what you're trying to do for your forefathers. I'm also go buy the stones next door. There's another guy down the block that sells the same stones. And I'll also have a chelik in mechabed my father. This is a success. This is a very, very great success. And the reward was, okay, after talking to the parsha, at least, I mean, I didn't realize how much, not really about keeping it away, but still, the following year, what happened? They have a paraduma. He has a paraduma. Paraduma, represents the extreme opposite. Kibud Av V'Em is logical. Paraduma is the extreme, the quintessential chayk. And what does he say? It says, I'm only going to take from you the money from the experience of the Kibud Av V'Em. I don't want the paraduma. I want to relive the experience of last year of the Kibud Av V'Em. So when I'm going to sell you the Parah Adumah, I want it to be on record. You know how much money I took for the Parah Adumah? The same amount of money that I should have taken for the stones for the Eifod. Because that's what made the impression upon me. That's what I live with. I live with that experience. And I want that to be preserved. I want the record to state that the business that I'm going to do with you now, it was all rooted in the impression you made upon me when you came to give cover to your forefathers. Okay, so this is obviously not the Pashup Sha'an the Gemara. Okay? But I believe over here there is a powerful message is that, I mean, it really ties to what we started with today, is that, you know, people are looking, people are watching. People are watching today like never ever before. Today with technology, it's frightening. Ayin Royev Oizen Shemas Vichol Masecha Basev Nichtavim, literally, mamash, literally. And if we do things with sincerity, the litmus test to know if we are really sincere people is, do people want to imitate our ways? And if the answer is yes, this is a success. And if the answer is no, criticism, gatya, then that shows that we ourselves are not sincere in what we are doing, that there is room for improvement.
Somebody who sees people doing good things, they want to kill them because instead of imitating them.
Okay, I don't know. We have to look into it. We have to see what it means. Okay, let's go to another topic. I came across a beautiful idea from in a sefer that was written up, the Shiurim of Rabbi Schlesinger. Mr. Rappaport, he gave this to me as a gift on Purim, I think. He gave me the sefer, fantastic sefer. Very deep sefer. So he has a very beautiful haram. What I'm telling you is not exactly what it says there, but it's rooted in what he says. He makes the following observation. We have this week in this week's parasha of the Petira of Miriam Hanaviyah. Miriam Hanaviyah dies, and with her death comes the end of the Be'er. The Be'er ceases to produce water. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be mispalel. This leads to a very great tragedy. Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of speaking to the rock, he hits the rock. We all know the story. And because of that, Moshe is not denied entrance into Eretz Yisrael. So this Chazal learned that that means that since with the death of Miriam, the Be'er dried up, this is a clear indication that for 40 years in the desert, the Be'er was only given to the Jewish people in the merit of Miriam Hanaviah. So Rav Schlossinger makes note of the following observation. Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos, the Pi HaBe'er, when was the opening of the Be'er, when was it created? It was created Erev Shabbos. It was created Erev Shabbos. Okay, I'm getting a little confused. And fine, Erev Shabbos, not really the point I want to make, we'll go a little backwards. And we have another famous Chazal. It's not a Chazal, it's a Ramah. It's a tradition. The Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Mitzvot Shabbos, writes something very bizarre, that a person, every Mitzvot Shabbos, should go into the reservoir, and should draw water, and should drink the Ramah, and it should drink water from a well, every Mitzvot Shabbos, because the Be'era Shel Miriam is always circulating throughout the world. And you never know where it is. And you just might get lucky. You might just get lucky, and if you draw water Mitzvah Shabbos, the water that you draw from the well might be the Be'er Miriam, and if you'll drink that magical water, it will bring you an incredible bracha. Refuah and bracha v'chulu v'chulu. Ramah brings this back. This is in Shulchan Aruch. Person should draw water from the Be'er Mitzvah Shabbos, because the Be'er Miriam, there's a tradition, circulates among all the waters of Mitzvah Shabbos, and you never know, you might get lucky. So Rav Schlesinger makes the following observation. Look at this. The Be'er Miriam is, in Chazal, is anchored in the beginning of Shabbos and the end of Shabbos. The Pi HaBe'er, the opening of the Be'er, was created the moment Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshes, the moment before Shabbos begins. And the moment that Shabbos is over, that's when the May Be'er is circulating. And that means every Erev Shabbos we are reliving the experience. That means every Erev Shabbos there's another creation. It doesn't just mean it was created once. This is a very deep idea. Hashem created the opening of the Be'er, Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshes. It doesn't mean it was a one-time event. It means every Erev Shabbos, the opening of the Be'er is once again recreated. And every Mitzvah Shabbos, that water is available. Shabbos is surrounded with the opening of the Be'er and the actual finding, the drinking of the water of the Be'er. What does that mean exactly? So he says another beautiful idea, which these two tie in together, and he asks an amazing question. After the Shira Sayam, we have two Shiras in the Torah. We have the Shira Sayam, Oz Yoshe Moshe Uvenei Yisro V'Shira Zos, and we also have the Shira of this week's parasha, Ali Be'er Enula, the Shira Sabe'er, Be'er Chafru Asarim, Karuha Nidive Am, Bim Chaykek Bimisha Noisoyim. We have the Shira Sabe'er. Let's go back to the Shira Sayam. Shira Sayam, what happened in the Shira Sayam? Moshe Rabbeinu, they cross the Yam, they sing Shira. We finish the Shira Shem, Yimloch Lyolam Voed, Kiva Sus Paroi. We finish off those psukim. And then we go into the next sukkim, Matan Lohem Miriam. Miriam then gathers all the women. They go out besoif in dancing and with a toif, with a drum, suvim mucholois. Matan Lohem Miriam, Shiru Lahashem ki goyo goa, sus veroichlo rabavayam. Wait a minute. Isn't that plagiarism? Isn't that exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu said? When he composed the Shira, Moshe said, Ashir Lashem ki goyoga asus v'lechol rabavayam. So what is Miriam? Miriam just repeating word for word? Also, they'll say, no, it was a very firm generation. It was separate seating. So the men, ha'iluchod, v'ha'iluchod, you know, separate, you don't mix shiras. It's a very weak answer, because Chazal, here's the real crux of the question. Chazal tell us that a Kriyas Yamsuf, afilu uborim shebemei imon, Amru Shira. Even the fetuses in their mother's womb sang Shira. Now, if the fetuses in the mother's womb sang Shira, Alachas Kama Vakama, the mother sang Shira. So therefore you have a right to say that when it says in the Pasuk, Oz Yosher Moshe Uvinei Yisrael, Vinei Yisrael is not to be translated literally the men, the sons of the Jews, of Israel. It means the entire Klal Yisrael, men, women, children, even the fetuses and the servants and the animals. I don't know, everyone said Shira, everyone sang Shira. So when it says Bnei Yisrael, that already included Miriam and the women singing Shira. We need now to go have a whole section, Vatan la Miriam, Ashur la Hashem ki go'o go'osus v'loch lo rama v'yam. What is going on over here? My high. So Rav Schlesinger, he elaborates, and to make a long story short, he quotes Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye says that the zechus of the Be'er came in the merit of Miriam, Miriam's claim to fame, her greatest contribution to Klal Yisrael is the pasuk, Vateisatzav achoiso merachog lideah ma ye'oselo. Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the Nile. Miriam stood at a distance to know what's going to happen, to see what's going to be. Amram and Yocheved gave up on Moshe. They totally gave up. He's a goner. There's no hope for Moshe. Miriam did not give up. For sure he's going to be saved. She wants to see how it's going to happen. Miriam had the midah, more so than anyone else, to revisit an event and try again. She never gave up hope. Miriam had a nevuah, told her parents, you're worse than Paro. Paro was geyser only on the males, you're geyser on the females. Her parents listened. And then when things got very difficult, her father hit her. Where is the fulfillment of your prophecy? Your prophecy is over, it wasn't true. Miriam says, no. Let's review, let's repeat, let's analyze. It has to be true. We have to revisit the event and understand and not give up hope. Something good has to come from this. This is the essence of Miriam. Now let's we'll work backwards. What Rav Schlesinger says is something incredible. Moshe Rabbeinu sang Shira once. Oz Yoshe Moshe, they sang Shira. The Chiddush of Miriam was, let's sing Shira a second time, Nochamol, and the second time we sing Shira, we'll be able to appreciate, see in the miracle new insights, a new dimension that we did not appreciate the first time around. Moshe, Uvnei Yisrael, was satisfied to sing Shira once. We've been there, we've done that, we're not going to be doing this again. It's a nice thing, maybe we'll reflect upon it back in the past, but to re-experience, to go through the steps again, we're not going to do. Miriam said, no, we have to say the Shira again, with the same Kavana, and by doing it again, we're going to see in the same Shira, a whole new dimension to the miracle itself. This is a major contribution that Miriam gave Klal Yisrael. Look, we daven every single day, the same exact words, over and over and over. What's the goal? The goal is that when you repeat the same words over and over, you come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say the same exact words, you should uncover a new insights, a new meaning in the same exact words. Where does that come from? That comes from Miriam. That is what Miriam is all about. And Chazal explained yesterday, yes, another question to bring out this point. We don't find anywhere anyone is singing about the man. Moshe brought us the man. We don't find the shira for the man. We don't find the shira for the Anani HaKavod. Maybe we have a mitzvah of Sukkos, maybe we have Birchas HaMazon, but it's not a Shira. We have in the Torah, Oz Yoshir Yisrael Es HaShira HaZos Vayoymu Lema Ali Ve'er Enu La. There is a special Shira in the Torah that is only was said in honor of the Be'er. There is no Shira that was composed in honor of the Mon. There is no Shira composed in honor of the Anani HaKava. Why not? And the answer is, Chazal say, because the Be'er, the water of the Be'er, every single second, B'chol, I don't have the exact words on my tongue because I don't write it down, but the water of the Be'er, every single moment is replenished. It is refreshed. The Mon is the same Mon. I mean, every day there was new Mon, Okay, every day, it's true, the Monday was a renewal as well. And the Anani Akavo, Lechorme was the same Anani Akavo, but in relative to the Mon, and relative to the Anani Akavo, the nature of a spring is, it's continuous. The waters, every single second, are fresh. It's new, there's a flow of water underground, it's new, it's fresh. The essence of Miriam is, just because you said Shmona Esrei by Shachris, say the same Shmona Esrei by Mincha with a new freshness, extract from the same words new meaning, new insight, new dimension in your relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Mon is unique. That's why the Be'er is unique. And this is all related to Miriam, whose essence is a person who is not satisfied with just one pass, with the one addition. You don't just do it once. You do the same thing again. Miriam did not compose new words for the shoe. The godless of Miriam was she repeated the same exact words as Moshe, but was able to bring forth a new dimension, a new meaning in those same words. That's her contribution. It's one thing you want to be novel, you want to say new, you want to be mechadish. That's very, very nice. But to be able to bring out something new, that to do the same thing again and bring out something new, that's even greater. That is the essence of Miriam. That is the nature of a be'er. It continuously replenishes itself. And now we come back to Shabbos. What do we say about Shabbos? The whole essence of the be'er is captioned Shabbos. What is the chilek between the weekday and Shabbos? Go to the weekday. What do? An event happens on Sunday. You have a meeting on Monday. You have a simcha on Tuesday. You have whatever you do on Wednesday. You go through the week and things are happening and happening and happening and happening. And as they happen, you take it in and you deal with it. You thank Hashem. Baruch atoy v'hametiv. If news is not good news, Rachman Litzlan, you have to say a different type of bracha. You deal with it. You deal with it, whatever Hashem gives you, you deal with. When it comes Shabbos, Shabbos is the time for the Be'er. It starts with the Be'er and ends with the Be'er. Shabbos is a time to reflect. You reflect again on the same exact events of the week. What happened Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. I already thanked Hashem what happened on Sunday. I already dealt with the event, the bad event on Monday. I already dealt with all of these issues on Tuesday. Shabbos is the day where you review, you take inventory, you go through and review the entire week, and you can see in hindsight, through the repetition of going, reviewing the events of the week, a new insight to just how good it really was. You thought it was only on a scale of 1 to 10, a 7? This event was really a 10. This that you thought was not good was really good. I read recently about a biography of a person who was nifter, he had a very difficult life. And before he died, he was sick. Before he died, he was talking to his children. He told his children, he made an impression on me. He said to his children that now, you know, I'm an old man. I'm in my 90s. I'm about to die. I'm not well. I look back at my entire life and I see that those tikufas that at the time were difficult, were bitter, I can see now they were really, it was only a blessing in disguise. It was really a bracha. And the events that were good, I didn't have a hasoga how good they really were. Now that I'm now at this point in my life, what I thought was no good was really good. I can see it. And what I thought was good wasn't just good; was off the charts good. And I didn't appreciate how good it was. I just thanked Hashem. Hoydu Hashem kitav ki liolam chasto. That's Miriam. Miriam is going through the same exact event. Go through the same thing and look at it with an entirely new approach. That's Shabbos. Shabbos begins with the Shira Sabe'er and ends with the Be'er. The Be'er was created Erev Shabbos, and Mitzvah Shabbos, you drink from the waters of the Be'er. It's encompassed within Shabbos. Shabbos is when we review. And I want to conclude, don't go out yet, I want to conclude with also mentioning, okay, as a parallel to this idea, is what is the Shira Sabe'er according to the understanding of the Orachayim and the Kliyakar. The Shira Saber is really a Shira for Torah Shebal Peh. Ali Be'er Enula Be'er, the Be'er Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chul Amayim, Chafuru HaSorim, it's been hewn by the princes. Korua Nidideyam. Who are the princes? Who are the Nidideyam? These are the Talmidei Chachamim. It is a shiur for the Torah Shebal Peh, a shiur for the Talmidei Chachamim, a shiur for the Rabbanim who have brought down, who have elucidated the Torah Shebal Peh. It is a shiur in their honor. And the truth is, these two ideas are really totally zeh bezeh. In order for a person to appreciate, in order for a person to have the ability to look back and appreciate life, to understand life and renew himself in a new dimension, like Miriam, you need the Torah Shebal Peh. The koyach of Torah Shebal Peh is what gives the person the ability to refresh himself, to renew himself. It's the tool which opens up the mind to see the multi layers that are present in every little thing that happens, and how much we can extract and derive from everything, with every brach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings our way. Now, to conclude, I just want to mention, it's nice, we have to mention this, it's very important to mention. First of all, we know that today's Erev, we discussed for 2 days, today's Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. And Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas was the Sreifas HaTalmud. And the Sreifas HaTalmud, the Talmud is the Shiras HaBe'er. And therefore, it's a day to, once again, to acknowledge the tragedy, what happened on this day, to mechazik ourselves, and to appreciate the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. It's also something which cannot be ignored, is that today is the last public day of Avelos that Klal Yisrael is mourning for Rabbi Meir Zlatowitz. Right? He died on Shabbos, and they started Avelos on Sunday. I think some of the members of the family, so I'm assuming, or maybe I'm wrong, is that Shabbos is the last day of Avelos. They get up tomorrow, but it's Avelos B'tzina. They get mixed in Kula, so tonight is Avelos B'tzina. It's not Avelos B'tzina. So today is the last day of Avelos B'farhesia. Halay davar, that the last day of Avelos B'farhesia for Rabbi Zlatowitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, coincides with Yom HaShishi, as we mentioned these last 2 days, and Yom HaShishi is the Aliyah where we describe the Be'er Chafarua Sorim Korua Nedivean. I mean, there's not a person in the world that has not been affected by art scroll. Even people, these people, they don't they're embarrassed to acknowledge that they don't know everything. It's not true. Everyone, the art scroll, besides the fact of how much what they've done, they're the conscience. They're the conscience of Klal Yisrael. They have presented Klal Yisrael with recognizing that Torah has to be understood, it has to be elucidated, it has to be made available and accessible for the common man. And another aspect, which I didn't really read in the articles yet, but one thing art school did, I think, which really shook up the world, is they brought into Torah yofi, beauty. Until art school, Chumash, Gemara, every product, the stamp of Yaft Elokim Liyafes, the Yishkoin Ba'ohol Eshem, the yofi, the beauty, the kavod that Torah deserves, is a mark, a contribution that is 100% unique to art school. Every prat, even the embossing of how everything is done with such perfection and such yofi. And it's not simple. It's not, and I think of Arshu, I think one thing comes to my mind. When you by Kriya Satar is over, what do? You do Hagma. So some people have a minug, I don't know, is the point. You point. It's machloikis. Which thing? You use the pinky? You use the index finger as a machloikis. The Zois HaTorah. Asher son Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael al pi Hashem v'yad Moshe. In my mind, the whole mahus of art school is the Zois HaTorah. Asher son Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael al pi Hashem v'yad Moshe. This is the Torah. It's not munach b'keren zavis, locked away in a basement, in a closet with some dust. It's very much alive. It's very much here. It's in front of you. You can point to it. It's beautiful. There's a yofi. The contribution is just off the charts. And it's all his credits. I mean, this is all him. It's all Rabbi Meir Zlatowitz, his vision, his it's just unbelievable. The schus, what he has brought to Klal Yisrael. And it's not a coincidence that the last day of Avelos coincides with the Be'er of Miriam, Be'er Chafarua Sarim Korun Diri'am. May his chus be a schus for all of us, may it protect us, and we should be zoichet to see Tchiyas HaMesim in the Geula, b'mehera v'yameinu, Amen.